Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to our Bravo episode of Tender Loving Care with your host, myself, Pauline, and my darling Kate. This is the time of the week that we dive headfirst into our Bravo show's Kate and I's podcast, Tender Loving Care, which is available on all podcasting platforms. There's a new episode each Wednesday. In that episode, we break down a show from the TLC and Discovery Plus network, past or present. We deep dive the insanity of those shows. On Tuesdays, we have a purely 90 Day Fiancé show. But this beautiful Friday episode is all our first love, which is Bravo. So without further ado, hi, Kate.
Hi, receipts. Proof, timeline, screenshots.
Hey, I am giddy. I am all of a tizzy. I am in a tizzy and I'm all of a tizzy. No alcohol either. Not that I'm doing dry January, but just, you know what I've got instead?
What, damp January?
Coke Zero. I got my Coke Zero.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I was going to say, I wanted to bring my Coke Zero in so, you know, get a little pep in the step. But I was thinking of you the other night, Kate, because you know how we have always have that discussion about, like, you know, my caffeine, how caffeine just doesn't even touch me, right?
Yes.
It's been, for LA, I just want to say, very chilly here. It was 39 degrees in my thermometer the other day in LA.
Wild.
Yeah, and really strong winds. So I came in and I had the option of either, like, it was maybe like 9 o'clock. It was really cold and I wanted just a hot drink. Put the heating on, I wanted a hot drink. So I didn't have any herbal teas that didn't have any caffeine in. I think it was all green tea and stuff like that. So I thought I'd just make a nice, nice filtered coffee. So I made a big thing of coffee and I sat and I had a lovely mug of coffee with oat milk before bed. Slept like a baby.
It's so insane.
I wonder if I need to get tested for some gene that's missing or something.
I guess you're just a very good sleeper and that's something to be grateful for, you know.
Well, did I ever tell you the story? This is really going deep now, guys. I was the second, and my mum told me stories all growing up, just so I didn't have enough complexes. She just wanted to add some more into me. She said, my sibling was a terrible sleeper. My mum was up every 3 hours for like 4 years, like horrendous story, right? I came along, I was literally out of the birth canal and I was sleeping 10 hours a night, right? Like literally, I was sleeping so soundly. So my mum told me as I got older, she's like, I was a nervous wreck because I didn't understand how you were sleeping. So I'd go up to your crib and I would put a mirror in front of your mouth to make sure you were breathing, right? Because I was terrified. Yeah. And then she said, just very casually to me, she goes, and then I thought, oh, she must be special because she's sleeping so much.
Oh my gosh. Especially rested. That's what you are.
Thank you so much. But she was very worried that there was going to be some abnormality, shall I say. But luckily I turned out perfect, Kate. Just perfect. Nothing perfect wrong. Baby. Perfect adult.
Yep, nothing wrong over there.
But you, I feel like you appreciate a nap. Like you like a nap.
I'm a big sleeper. I can sleep a very long time. I can sleep in no problem, but I have a hard time going to bed, like winding down. I just want to stay up all night. I don't want the day to end sort of thing. Once I finally get asleep, I'm asleep.
Okay. Okay. So. And then, you know, you could do a midday nap.
Sure.
Yeah. You could do a little, fit a little nap in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I don't often get to, but I would if I could.
I loved that Dorinda, when we first met Dorinda, so it always goes back to Roni. When we first met Dorinda and Real Housewives of New York, she introduced and she said, every single day at 4 o'clock, I take a nap. She says, I go into my house. She goes, and I take off all my clothes and I put on a cotton nightgown. And she says, and I go to sleep for 45 minutes every single day of my life.
That's ideal. She's doing it right.
And she's also partying till like 6 o'clock in the morning in New York. So, I mean, she needs a nap.
She's full of those little contradictions, isn't she? She's wild and crazy. And she's also a very regimented grown-up lady.
Yeah. Yeah. Before we get into that, we have so much to go on about. I do just want to apologize for my location right now and looks a little bit blurry, the camera and everything. If you guys are watching us on YouTube, which you can and you should do right now, we see the subscribers coming in. Thank you so much. Go over to YouTube, put in Tender Loving Care Podcast. Kate uploads our recordings of every single episode we do. So please go over there, watch us, like, smash that like button and make Kate and I's dream come true of being YouTubers. But yeah, I'm looking very fuzzy here just because I cannot record in where I usually record because it's an ice box. It is a literal ice box in that room. And I opened the door and I walked in. I went, nope. And I shut it. So I'm recording in my living room right now. So I do apologize.
It's all good. So I feel like there's a lot of Bravo news we are needing to get into. Am I right?
Oh my God, Kate, there's so much. I mean, we have not spoken since last year and about Bravo and the things that have come out. It's been like boom, 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 boom.
That network is giving us a lot.
Oh God, except in Potomac. I don't know if you're watching Potomac, but no.
All I hear is bad stuff. So like it's boring or the... whatever, people don't like it this season. I got enough stuff to watch. I'm just not watching it. It's a shame because Potomac used to be my favorite, but
I loved it. I know. So Kate, you're right, there is so much to catch up on. We are obviously going to be going over Beverly Hills and Salt Lake today. What I was going to say, and I think you kind of had the exact same idea as mine, of us doing a quick breakdown of our thoughts on like some breaking news, some other Bravo stuff. We can go back and forth. I'll throw out one, you throw out one to me, and we'll just go over.
Okay, that sounds perfect.
Now, I'm going to ask this, but I haven't confirmed whether you have seen this. Did you manage to finish Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip?
I had a little time left over today to watch stuff, and I fast forwarded towards the end of the last episode. I didn't have enough time for the whole thing, but I knew you had said the end of it was really great with Lou. So I watched the last, I don't know, like 15 minutes of it. So I saw them partying and the editing at the end with they're all trying to guess who Lou slept with. And then the footage of him walking out butt naked. I mean, it was amazing.
I mean, could you, none of these franchises can do it. None of them can do it like old Roni. You ended up getting footage of this guy not only butt naked after just having banged Luann all night, but what he's doing is he's coming out, he's just grabbing a cigarette to go back in and one for her. I'm like,
oh, that woman.
That all through Ultimate Girls Trip, she's just so horny. I mean, it's from the second she wakes up to the second she goes, which man can I sleep with? I need a man to sleep with. I need male attention. I need a man. This is her in her late 50s. What was she like in her 20s?
Well, what I'm curious about, how long of a period was she so prim and proper? Because we have talked about this, how someday we want to do a bonus episode that chronicles in detail the life of Lou and her journey. And so we know she had probably wild times as, you know, in her 20s.
Yes.
Do you know, I'm sure you do, when she met the Count?
Great question. Appreciate it. Thank you. I do consider myself a Lou aficionado. Dates and times I'm not good with, but we knew Lou as brought up in Connecticut. She was Nurse Lou, and she worked in, at the home she worked in, she used to give like aerobics classes to the patients and the nurses, which I love. I don't know where the period was of her being a nurse to the modeling beginning.
Right.
Because when she started modeling, that's when she went to Italy and France and was bumming around that. And she said, I wasn't like a big runway model or anything, but I did commercial work over there. So I think the nursing happened for a couple of years, probably out of finishing high school. So I would say 18, 19, 20. Then she went over to Italy or France. And then she was blonde on the Italian game show, which we all know and love that footage. How she met the Count, unfortunately, I don't think she's ever said that on air.
Yeah.
I do believe, though, I think she met him in America. And they eloped. They didn't even have a big wedding. They went to a registry office and got married. I mean, if she, like, Noelle and Victoria are late 20s now, probably early 30s. Oh,
okay. I Googled and it says she attended a dinner party in Switzerland where she met Count Alexander de Lesseps. And after a very short courtship, the two were engaged.
So it was Switzerland she met him.
Yes. Lou. At a dinner party. That was after the hosting gig.
What age does it say there?
Let's see.
Listeners, I'm so sorry. Kate and I will literally talk about Lou for about
an hour. Yeah, I guess we can move on, but I'll let you know if I figure it out.
But Kate, you came up with it there. We will be, and we're promising this, because it's Kate and I's dream, we're going to have an episode solely called The Life of Lou. You already titled it, Kate, The Life of Lou. We are going to document, like proper Bravo historians that we are, Lou's journey. Because to see her in this Ultimate Girls Trip, Kate, that photo of her with a cigarette and showing the barman how she looked like 10 years ago, saying, don't I look the same? I mean, it was just so beautiful. She's looking unbelievable. Her body is banging. Confidence is through the roof. Every guy wants to be around her. She's our Lou.
The women are in awe of her. The women want to be her. The men want to sleep with her.
God, I love her.
The women want to sleep with her.
Yeah, the women want to sleep with her.
They got married in 1993 and were married until 2009, according to Google. Sorry.
Anyway. I remember I told you the story. I did see the Count near Harrods in London with his new girlfriend. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was amazing. Anyway, but overall, yes, talking about Real Housewives, Ultimate Girls Trip, this latest season. Obviously, we thought we were going to get this later because the whole Brandy one is axed, which means we never got Alex McCord, which is a crying shame. It's so typical as well of Alex to be on the one that gets cancelled. It's like, oh, Alex.
Poor Alex.
If she had been on this one, Kate.
That's the only thing that could have improved
it. Only thing that could have improved it, you're right. I want to pose a question to you about it. Were you mildly shocked/surprised? No one was wasted. And I'm talking about Sonia. like fall over wasted, constantly naked wasted.
I was surprised. I was thinking about that. And I think that all of these women went into this knowing, okay, this could be a chance to prove to Andy that we are worth putting back on the air full time. We don't want to mess this up. So we're going to have fun and we're going to be our best entertaining selves. But I think maybe they were minding their P's and Q's a little bit.
That makes sense, because I could not get my head around it. I was like, where's Dorinda losing her shit, like wasted and slurring her words? There were no subtitles needed. We've never seen that before.
Shocking.
But you're right. Dorinda wants back on. You're right.
They were kind of pitching themselves throughout the thing too. I remember the very end of it, one of them, Dorinda or someone, was like, see, this is why we're so great, because we have fun. Like, they were summarizing, and this is why we're the best housewives ever. And I think they had that in mind when they were there. So,
was Ramona show when she, and this, well, Ramona was wasted actually, which was really kind of funny to see though. In the last episode, you know, when she's trying, I don't know if you saw this, she's wasted and she's trying to pack for the next day. So she gets that obnoxious, where is it? I need it right now. So she's running around the villa with that guy trying to find her underwear and a bikini that is supposed to be washed. And she was really slurring away. And then she fell asleep while the psychic was giving her a reading. I mean, it was just overall, Kate, compared to all of the ones we've seen so far, like of the Ultimate Girls, how do you feel about the entire trip?
I think this has hands down been the most entertaining one, of course. The Berkshires one stressed me out. It had great moments, but with Dorinda, you know, flying off the handle so much, it was just like, oh no, Dorinda, don't do this. Yeah. So I think she got back to a lighter place spiritually. She's still our same Dorinda. She can get set off at times, but she kind of reined it in a bit. And what was the other one? See, I can't even remember much about the first one.
The Thailand was ridiculous. And the first one was Lou, but they were all like on their best behavior. And it wasn't, they were testing it out. But you're right, this one was the best. It was brilliant. It was brilliant work. It was so brilliant good. Work.
Every second, something to look at or laugh at. I laughed my ass off. It was great.
Love it.
All right.
What do you have? Do you have anything for me that you want to throw out? Just thoughts apart from the two episodes.
Okay. I watched the Summer House season 8 trailer came out recently. I watched that and I think it looks good. And I believe I will be watching. It starts with the Carl and Lindsay breakup. You have Carl talking directly to a producer. You have Lindsay on the phone talking to her dad, and then it goes back in time and shows that this whole season is going to be about, you know, their relationship struggles leading up to the wedding. And there's a great line from Sierra. She is talking to Amanda and she says, "Do you feel like you have an identity outside of Kyle? Because I don't." It's like, damn.
Thank you, Sierra. Wow, she took the words out of my mouth, because Kate, you know I'm not one to gossip or speak my mind often, right?
Never.
I had said so many times to you, I don't get Summer House. Did I watch every single season? Absolutely, because I do my research. But I told you I don't find any of them attractive, and that Amanda, that Paige, don't get me started on Paige. She's supposed to be a fashion guru, a fashionista. Do you see the state of her? Like, what she wears is something you pick up at Topshop. Like, she is so uninspired, so uninteresting. And Amanda, there's nothing apart from she's skinny and she is Kyle's girlfriend and a wife. And that's it. I was so shocked at that whole show, watched it all, but none of them, I couldn't understand it. Now, when this broke about Lindsay, and first of all, when those two got together, that was bizarre as well when I watched that. Then, you know, the breakup, obviously that was came after Scandival and everyone was like, oh, it's like another Scandival and this is kind of big. So that's interesting. So will I be popping into it? I probably will, but not with the enthusiasm of yourself. But I do appreciate that there's scandal in it now. But they are as dull as dishwater. That's how I don't understand how they took off.
They showed a lot. I don't know. It was really a show that grew on me. And it's, I think what I appreciated is that it was just so stupid and the fights were so, so stupid. You have those Workus twins throwing watermelons on the ground. It's just the dumbest shit ever. And I just like to just mindlessly watch it for some reason. I like Amanda. I don't even know why. Kind of have a crush on her. That's probably why. But they showed Amanda and Kyle having quite a lot of trouble as well.
Okay.
It's Amanda's. I think she feels what Sierra is saying, and she's trying to stand up for herself and have differing opinions from him. And she says, you don't ever let me have my own opinion. And he's like, cause your opinions are dumb. And it's like, whoa. He pisses me off. So I don't know if I'll watch every single episode, but like you said, yeah, I'll definitely be dipping in and seeing how
dipping in. Well, let's get on to, you know, the meat and potatoes. Okay. We are going to be covering, obviously, the latest episode, which is 11 of season 13 of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Celebration of Life. We need to discuss, I guess, kind of, because I think there were a couple that aired that we did not. I know they took a break, like we took a break, but when we took a break, I guess we need to discuss, I think, like one episode before that, roughly, and just kind of where we are with all of the characters and the players. Overall, Kate, how are you feeling about Beverly Hills this season so far? We're on episode bloody 11 already. Tell me how you're feeling.
There were some great episodes so far. The dinner with Denise was very compelling and fun for me to watch. But a lot of the episodes, I get a little bit bored. And that's kind of a theme with me watching Beverly Hills Housewives.
Agreed. I mean, look, we can't ask that we can go back to the glory days of Camille fighting with Kyle and, you know, you stole my goddamn house and Kim Richards. Like, those are the glory days. But I realized watching this episode that was very, very touching because of part of the subject matter of it. This cast... And I was trying to figure out what is going on with it. And I came to the point, Kate, essentially, there is a massive amount of gossip and drama that is contained with these women. The problem is none of them are bringing it out. Dorit and PK, what we saw this week is nothing compared to what is going on underneath with those two. There is a massive amount of stuff going on. The money is a huge issue. The fact that he was living at the Beverly Hills Hotel for a while, apparently, and wasn't even living at the house, they're not going to discuss it. So that's off the table. Kyle is so irritating with not discussing what's really going on with Maurizio. Yes, I always call him Maurizio, not Mauricio, and Morgan Wade, that you're just like, oh, give it up. I can't be bothered anymore. So the problem is there's a ton of drama that should be coming out, but no one is talking about it or dealing with that.
That's how Beverly Hills plays the Housewives game. And it's really frustrating. There's so much going on under the surface, but they're so concerned with keeping up appearances and none of them will kind of get down in the dirt with each other very often. It's very thrilling when they do, but you have to sit through about 8 episodes of almost nothing until you get to a blow up or something. And it's,
you're right.
Tiring.
It's very on brand. I guess you're right. But I mean, you're right. But there's just this stuff simmering and all as the audience, we know, okay, Dorit, you've got this hair that you've dyed because you look really depressed and she's suffering terribly from PTSD, plus her marriage is breaking down, plus her husband is $1 million worth of debt. That none of that's getting discussed. You've got, you know, obviously Carl with Maurizio and everything. And I just think, what was my point that I was going to say here? I did actually have a really good point. No, but you were saying how they won't bring it out. Yes, that's it. I was watching something, something on Instagram, one of these great accounts, and they played the clip, which is one of my favorite, and it's one of the most shocking, not really spoken about housewife clips of all time. It was a reunion for, okay, it was Roni. I'm admitting it was Roni, but it was Dorinda's, I would say, first or second season. And it was when, it was the season where she is just scrapping about John and Bethany. Remember, it was the bra party and Bethany and John came in and they're talking about Coke.
Yes.
On one sofa, you've got Dorinda and Sonia sat next to Dorinda and they're all kind of squished on this couch. And Andy's talking about Coke, right? Because Bethany's like, well, they're all doing something. Sonia turns to Dorinda, who sat next to her. They're like best friends, supposedly, and goes, well, everyone knows you do drugs. And she turns, Dorinda just turns around and goes, I don't do drugs. I'm home every night. And they're like, oh, shut up. And then she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And Lou goes, just drop it. Everyone just like, we don't need to talk about it. Just drop it. And they moved on to another question. In Beverly Hills, if you had had a woman turn around and go, come on, everyone knows you do drugs, that would have been a season-long fight. But with the Roni gals, they were just like, nah, whatever, shut up.
It's a throwaway comment. And then you have Beverly Hills talking about Lucy Apple Juicy for 10 episodes. And you're like, oh my God, talk about your marriage. Talk about your debt. Talk, you know, someone bring it up. And that's why Roni's the best. I mean,
it is. And getting into this episode, it was really apparent, I think, in this episode. It really struck me. I mean, we open up with Kyle and her stunning array of dogs, which we've spoken about, just stunning Puff and Fluff as far as the eye can see. And I just wrote, she's way too much time on her hands because she's just like in the house alone. You see, it's just this big empty house of Kyle in there. And they're all going to Ojai with this Anna Marie, I don't know what her name is. She's absolutely pointless on this show. I think the fact that she's in the opening titles this week, I was like, Oh, okay. Like I said before, the rumor is that the stuff came out about her husband. So she had filmed a lot with them, but it's all been cut because all she talks about is esophagus. There we go. Esophagus, that's her whole thing. And I'm just like, what are we doing here? So they're all going to Ojai for Anna Marie, whatever her name is, birthday. Erica can't come because she's got COVID. So we had no Erica this episode. And you realized that you actually needed her. They go on a sprinter van. So we know what we're like with sprinter vans. We're like, great, this is going to be something. Zilch.
Nothing. Okay. Nothing. Do you want a mimosa? No, we're having a different drink. I'm sitting there like, what? Yeah. So
paid for them to go to this Ojai and they got like, I would say 7 minutes of footage from all being in Ojai that entire day.
You know, I love Ojai, by the way, but yeah, it was like a brief lunch and it was so bizarre too, because they played that dumb game where it was like, go around the circle and show your O face. And then out of nowhere, Kyle's like, would you date a woman? And then she started demonstrating scissoring with Dorit. And I was like, what's going on right now?
I didn't get that at all. Because you know that we know it's a lot about editing and the cuts. But they were asking. And then Kyle blurted it out. And that was either very deliberate to get a reaction from the cast. Because she knows that they suspect that she's having an affair with Morgan. But she's not saying anything. So it was either that or they deliberately cut it that way. But from the reactions, it seemed like she did just blurt it out, which is bizarre. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we've got Sutton trying to be really, oh, I'm kinky and crazy by licking a toe and then putting a tongue in Dorit's mouth. And And then they just went home. I was like, what? What's this? What was this?
It was so strange. It was so strange.
Oh, that was too much.
And then they end up laughing though. And Sutton's like, that's why I love this group. Cause we laugh and we remember we like each other. And I was like, don't, okay. But okay.
Yeah.
Then it goes to that scene with Garcelle and her sons, right? And they're like having a sex talk, and these scenes always make me cringe because I just think about being a teenager and my parents are on a reality show and they want to talk about sex on national TV with me. I would be like beet red and like running away.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know. They're such gorgeous young boys.
Yeah.
And it just reminds me, like I said before, I'd be terrified my children were going to get pregnant or get someone pregnant. It just terrifies me so much. Like watching those boys, I was like, oh God, so scary. So Garcelle, it was really annoying, by the way. Garcelle made this amazing like lasagna and then he was eating cereal. It's like, why are you eating cereal? You're about to have a home cooked lasagna.
I know.
I know. What are you doing?
Teenagers.
But you know, and then she kind of, and it's another kind of forced storyline. So we always, with all the housewives, we get the empty nest thing. These boys are 15, so they have 3-4 years before they go to university. But she's like, so I'm already trying to think about when you go to university. Garcelle, give us something else. I mean, come
on. What's going on with Crystal? You know, they're not giving us anything about anyone.
On with Crystal. I don't know what happened this season with filming. There is a lot of things that could be behind the scenes. Maybe they got new producers. Maybe they got, because something is not clicking in this entire season. I cannot believe we're on episode 11. I cannot believe we're on episode 11.
Did they just think that they were going to get more out of the Mo thing?
Yeah, probably.
And
we don't have anything. All we've seen is them being like, we don't see it. We just want something and we're not getting anything. Crystal has had zero screen time, and when she does, it's not entertaining or showing anything about her. It's depressing, you know. She's just depressing on there, and that's how they're editing her, because she's not going to come back next season, and I think they're doing that deliberately. And it's really hard. I like her. She's so gorgeous to look at. You want her on the screen all the time. I just wanna, like, stare at her. She's so gorgeous.
She's got great potential, I think, to be a good housewife.
And with Lion King, you know there's stuff going on there with Lion King. But of that's course. Not getting discussed. It's about her random brother that's not even on the show. And then but she is next week, look like she's going to get into it with Anne-Marie, which is going to be brilliant because that Anne-Marie deserves it. But you're right, we have all of that. And then we have this scene with Dorit and Guy. Now, I was watching it and then I was either cooking, I was doing something, so my head was turned, but I know they were getting ready to have the therapist at the house. And she's like, I'm so glad that Big Guy has now said yes to the therapist. The doorbell goes, correct me if I'm wrong, but he went to go and get a pizza or something. What happened?
So, yeah, you're right. The doorbell rings and he had been chowing down in the kitchen. And right when the doorbell rang, he grabbed like one last slice of pizza and he was eating it, and Dorit freaked out. And then she brought it up to the therapist when she opened the door. Do you know what he did? You rang the doorbell and he grabbed a whole other piece of pizza and shoved it in his mouth. I can't believe you did that, PK. And it was this whole thing. And I was like, geez.
Poor diabetic PK. Don't forget he's got diabetes and she's desperately trying to get him.
I always forget he has diabetes, and I think she's simply just shaming him. I always forget.
He loves his Coca-Cola and he loves his chips and dips. And it's not good. It's not good for him. It's not good for anyone, but it's not good for PK. Now, I did think, listen, I understand the English way and drinking is just very, very different. And I always support it and encourage it. Okay. However, if you're sitting, PK, I would say this, you're sitting down with your wife who went through an enormous trauma. You're sitting with a therapist who is a doctor, hopefully, and is going to be discussing PTSD, perhaps leave the Stella in the kitchen. Or at least put it in a glass. He was sat in front of that therapist, guzzling down a bottle of Stella.
PK. I mean, PK. Take it a little seriously.
I mean.
Oh, Dorit.
What did you make of the stuff that came out in this cake? Because there was a lot that came out in this.
I think that they still have a lot of love between them.
Yep.
I think that there's a communication breakdown and that he is not grasping just how affected she is by what happened. And he's having a hard time taking it as seriously as she wants him to. And she's not getting what she needs from him, the comfort that she is so desperately seeking.
I agree. I did believe him when he was articulating that. I really think, and I kind of understand this feeling, it's a complex feeling of when somebody you love is in a lot of pain, you can kind of be angry at them because you don't want to take on, you don't want to feel how hurt they are because it hurts you so deeply. It sounds very selfish and it's a very odd, twisted emotion. But it's like when somebody gets sick or has cancer that you're really close to, you can get angry at them because you're angry at them for being sick. Mm-hmm. But it's because you care so much. You can't fathom the pain that they're in and taking that on. So I think PK kind of said that, and I believe that with him. So he's like, oh, well, shut up then. You're fine. Because he doesn't want to accept the massive amount of pain Dorit's in, which is so evident. This woman is... you know, she really is demonstrating that you know, not everybody just gets over something. She went through a horrendous time and she's still going through it. His comments, Kate, this was interesting. She wasn't as high maintenance. All of this is cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. He's angry at her as well. Everything that I said before. But he is angry at her because she has gone and spent this. And because he's gone, go and spend it all. Not because she's like someone that's money grabbing. But they lived a life well beyond their means. And he's angry. So he's like, she was never high maintenance before, but now it's just a lot. It's a lot. Yeah. You're talking about money there, buddy.
He's resenting the lifestyle that she's grown accustomed to. And yeah, that's easier to do than for him to reflect on his part in it, maybe.
I think so.
I was glad he at one point did get to that vulnerable place. He got real about it because I was worried that he would spend the whole time making jokes and slugging mm-hmm. back his Stella. But he did get to that place, and she came over and sat on his lap, and I was like, oh yeah, good. There, that's when I was like, okay, yeah, there is still a lot of love there. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping they can work through all of this.
So I mean, it was good that, like you say, it was good they got to a vulnerable place, but wow, there's been a lot that's gone on in that marriage in these past year or so.
And we're only seeing the tip of the iceberg.
I know.
Then we go on to everyone heading to the Celebration of Life event, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Who pops up?
Morgan White.
And Teddy, two T's and a tit or whatever her name is. Teddy is in the car with Kyle, who are going to the Celebration of Life, like you say, for her very best friend, Lorene, who died by suicide earlier in the year, and so unimaginable. And Kyle is doing the Celebration of Life to have a, you know, to share memories of her and who she is. So they're going there and they're like, oh, and then we're picking up Morgan, and then Morgan comes in. So in the back of this car is Teddy, Kyle, and Morgan. And she then does this whole thing, Kate, in her confessional about people let you down, but you know, these are the people that I speak to every single day. I speak to them about family. I speak to them about friends. I speak to them about everything. These are the people that I speak to constantly, every single day. They're my true friends. You know what? I'm really upset about Dorit being pushed out so much.
Yeah, there was a time where I feel like that was her, and there seems to be so much distance between them now.
So much. They did everything together. And I think, you know, the change in Kyle is just so huge, so huge. But apparently she's getting all her comfort from a 27-year-old. I just don't get it. But I feel very, when she said that, I was like, that would hurt so much if you were Dorit. Dorit's like, I never see you.
Yeah, and especially with Dorit going through all she's going through too, she probably wants Kyle there to lean on her more.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's strange and disappointing.
Well, what's stranger is when they get to this celebration, Kate. So they go there and we see the sound check and Kyle's speaking to someone and Morgan's performing completely inappropriate songs for a celebration of life, by the way. Anyway, so it was so weird. Okay. I was listening to another podcast. It's like, we have to understand here as well, whether they're lovers or whether they're not, whether they're girlfriends, whether they're partners, whether they're just friends, whatever, there is business as well here because she's promoting the shit out of her constantly. And Kyle's talking to the organizer, the party planner, it's her assistant. She goes, okay, so basically we're doing past drinks. And Morgan's doing her sound check. And then Kyle just goes, hang on a second. And then she just like sings one of the lyrics and then goes over to watch her just in complete admiration. What's going on?
It just seems like they're dating. I don't know what else to say. I know.
Listen, we always say to the listeners, we flip and flop all the time. We're guilty of it. And I've gone back and forth. I said, no, I just think she admires this young woman. She wants to be like her, blah, blah, blah. Then she previews one of the songs that they go through and Kyle gives a lovely, lovely speech and you see Lorraine's just heartbroken mother and her two gorgeous daughters that she has, just awful. And Kyle gives a beautiful speech and then she's like, and now musical guest, Morgan Wade, lyrics. You say I'm too young for you. You say I shouldn't be the one for you or whatever that lyric. What? How is this? First of all, it's obviously completely and utterly about Kyle. And you're singing this at the celebration of life. Not okay, dude.
I don't know. And even before that, can we talk about the scene in the green room where Kyle's nervous about the speech and she's sitting across from her and you could tell she wanted to touch her more comfort her more. And she's about to say something. And Kyle's like, what? She's like, never mind. And I was like, what are you going to say?
It's so true. They are literally like, they should have their hands tied because they're about to like reach for each other constantly. I know.
Oh, I don't know.
It's wild. And then we get to them eating stuff off skewers and feeding it to, she was giving it to Morgan. So I'm like, they are absolutely having a sexual relationship. Like they are in a relationship. I mean, after seeing this, I just, come
on. The body language is saying a lot. I'll say that. Yeah.
What else happens here with Anne-Marie? Oh, God.
Well, Garcelle calughs Teddy the gnat and brilliant. Laughs about it, which I loved.
Loved it.
That's really all I have. Is it ending on, the sad?
It's the whole Anne-Marie of it. She comes in as though I've got something to say. She goes, so she sits with Crystal and Sutton. Nope, sorry, Crystal and Garcelle. And she said, well, listen, you guys, this is the celebration of life. You guys know Sutton much, better than I do. Here's the thing. You can't just say small esophagus and as to a medical professional like me, and I'm not going to, figure it out. That is not a medical term. So either there's an eating disorder and Crystal goes, whoa, stop. Crystal is rolling her eyes. She's going, why are you even saying an eating disorder? And Anne-Marie goes, I never said eating disorder. And then they rewind the tape. She's an idiot. This Anne-Marie is a complete idiot. I don't know why we have her. She's not funny. She's not interesting. She is not causing drama. She's picking on something that is so stupid and uninteresting. It's not going to get you on this show again. And so the two of them sit there and they're just like, all right, whatever. Like, it's just basically like you're completely embarrassing yourself.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
And then, sorry, what were you going
to say? I was just going to say, and then Garcelle just stands up, goes right over to Sutton and Dorit, where Sutton's talking about her father's suicide, and just goes, oh, by the way, Anne-Marie was just talking about your esophagus again. Boom.
With my thing with Anne-Marie is that she has the makings of a messy housewife, because we're talking about, oh, everyone's too afraid to say stuff and bring stuff up. And she's coming in every scene, the esophagus, but she needs to pick her storylines better. No one cares about that. You need to come in right. And talk about someone's husband being a gay hairdresser, yes. Or you need to come in and bring the heat. You can't come in and say, I'm a doctor and there's no such thing as a small esophagus. You must have an eating disorder. That's not how you're going to win fans and stay on the show. People don't want to hear that. You Absolutely. Accusing people of that. That's not nice. And it's boring.
Yep.
So I appreciate her tenacity in bringing stuff up on camera, but it's not the right thing.
I know. It's, yeah. I mean, so it was just, excuse me. Overall, Kate, it was disappointing. It made me look at Beverly Hills and go, what are we doing with this cast? It all needs to be axed. It needs to be redone, reshuffled. And then we get this insane confessional from Kyle, where she's just like, you know, I don't even feel any affinity to LA anymore. I don't want to live here. When Portia's finished school, I'm going. In her, what she was saying is, Morgan and I are going to go and live like the rest of LA at the moment and move to Tennessee. Everyone in LA is going to Nashville, by the way. No one's left in LA anymore. There's no one here.
I'm coming back.
You're coming back. And literally, it was Austin, it was Portland, and now everyone's going to Nashville. And that's essentially what she was saying. She's like, I want to be, you know, in the woods. I want to be hiking. I want to be doing this. And I don't feel like I want to be here anymore. Her personality has completely changed. And it must be so jarring to be Dorit and her other friends are like, this is Kyle, her and Maurizio traveling. She loves the Rolexes. She loves being out at parties every night. She loves a drink, gets drunk. We all have fun. And then one day, she just goes, I'm not any of that anymore. I think it's very brave when you say it like this. I think it's fabulous that a woman, especially a woman, and especially getting older, to really find who she is. And I think that's what she's doing. I think she's fallen in love with Morgan. I think she feels utterly betrayed and let down by Maurizio. And she met Morgan and it just all made sense. And a whole new chapter. So there's a part of it that I actually find really inspiring.
Yeah, I want her to be happy. I know there's people who really don't like Kyle. I feel like people are divided about being a fan of hers or not. I'm a fan of Kyle. I think she has given us so much on this show, actually. All the family secrets have come out. You know, she exposed her sister's alcoholism on camera. You know, you stole my house. Like, well, that was good. But there's a lot she's done, and I do want her to be happy. Mm-hmm. And I think that might mean leaving this show behind. And
I know
that's crazy to say because she is the star of it, but I want Brandy types, honestly. In the mix, at least, not all Brandys, that would be too much, but I want it to be exciting and fun. I don't want to see people just lackluster and over it the whole time.
That's the feeling, exactly. And you know what this has brought out as well is, I am not asking the producers here to do what they did to Roni, get rid of everyone and start with people that aren't even interesting. But what I'm saying is we need to look at this cast and see what Denise has brought more this entire season already than the majority of the cast. And she was in like two scenes. But Denise would be brilliant full time.
Yes.
Brilliant. Get Brandy back. That would be controversial. Get those two. I mean, Camille in the mix again. You know, we could really get Adrian Maloof back. I mean, seriously, I'm like, let's shake this up a bit, but keep trying to get back to the essence of what it was, because this is not working.
No. There's a lot of real stuff going on, but no one will talk about it. I don't think they want to fight with each other that much anymore. No. Like, they're tired.
I think they're tired. That's the word that I feel this entire franchise is exhausted. Yep. They're just going, I can't do it. And you're right. Kyle has given one of the top, she's given the most out of probably any housewife that's been on this. She's exposed horrendous, painful, incredibly sore subjects. And perhaps with her marriage, it was the last straw of where she was like, this one I'm not going to do. I'm not going into my marriage. And I don't know how many episodes we have left, Kate. We're on 11. I still don't think we're going to get anything.
No. No. I mean, she hints at it at the end of this. I started crying because she talked about how her last conversation with her friend was her telling Kyle that you should cherish your marriage. And she said, I feel like I'm letting her down. And that was heartbreaking to hear. And that's kind of, it seems like the most she's going to say about it is things like that. And
we all want the details, but yeah. I just don't think I think she finally went, this is the last, this is what I'm not going to give you guys. And she's not going to continue on the show. And I understand.
I'm okay with that, but I don't want next season. I don't want a whole nother season of this. I think it's time to hang up the diamonds and rosé and.
I think so. And that Maurizio, by the way, if you want a laugh, go onto his Instagram. He is like fulfilling every stereotype of a middle-aged divorced dad. I can't. It's painful, Kate. If you want a laugh, go and watch it. He is just like shirtless with 20-year-olds and then like, oh, jetting to another place. It's like,
oh God.
Maurizio. Any other words for BH?
No, but before we move on to Salt Lake City, we didn't speak at all about OC.
About the drama.
Well, yeah. And I saw that apparently Alexis Bellino has gotten an offer to rejoin.
It's back and forth. I know.
Is it real? Is that real?
I don't know. Some blogger or some Instagram account said that she had, and she wrote in the comments, not true. But I do not think there is a producer alive that would not get her on that. She wants to be on camera more than anybody else, right?
Yeah.
More than Jill Zarin. She's in Jill Zarin level. And the fact that a producer cannot let this go, she is dating Jim Johnson Jansen. Like, of course, unless Shannon said, I'm not filming, and they had to choose. I don't know, but it is the biggest mistake if we don't see Bellino.
Please. And then the other tidbit I saw was I was looking into the Instagram back and forth, and I saw, well, because Vicky left the comment on Tamara's recent post about The Traitors season 2. Shout out to The Traitors. I love that show, and I'm so excited for Tamara to be on it. I can't wait. Also, Sheree, Phaedra Parks, Larsa Pippen. It's going to be a great season. Anyways.
Larsa would sit like this the entire time. Huh? What?
I'm not the traitor.
Kardashian? I didn't get plastic surgery.
She'd be a good traitor then. No one will think it's her. So anyways, she's promoting that. And Vicky, of course, commented, perfect show for you. And Tamara's response, I enjoyed. Thank you. I'm honored to be on an Emmy-winning reality show with some of the biggest names in the industry. Sorry you didn't get the call. Better luck next time. Oh, Tamara.
And they are beginning filming this week. This week or next week, they are going into filming. Cameras up. I mean, what?
Perfect.
If you then add Bellino, of course Tamara's going to become best friends with Alexis to piss Shannon off. It'll be a dream.
It writes itself. Yeah, come on.
I hope they mess that up, Kate.
I know. And then to launch us into the Salt Lake City recap we're about to do. I don't know if you saw this, but there is a California congressman named Robert Garcia who quoted Heather in a congressional speech roasting Trump. He said, and what do we have as Democrats? We have receipts, proof, a timeline, screenshots. We have everything we need to prove conclusively that foreign governments were funneling money through Trump properties and into Donald Trump pockets, all in violation of the Constitution. And I live for that. I think that's so amazing.
Passed out. I was done when I saw it. The next time people give us shit, especially these men that come along and be like, oh, you women watching Housewives, look at the political influence that Andrew Cohen has had. We are influencing every aspect of society at this point, the Housewives.
That is absolutely true. And this is only going to fluff up Heather's ego to higher and higher heights.
Yeah, I realized there is something we have not discussed with our listeners, and this is perfect timing. So thank you for that quote. It was genius. Guys, if you've not seen it, go and Google it. It was perfection. Kate and I on our break, obviously we saw each other and we were also chit-chatting back and forth, Goss, drama, Bravo, etc. I one night opened up, I've not discussed this and I'm not going to go into a huge amount of details, but we will talk about it. I opened up, we have our Instagram, Tender Love and Care podcast, and then I have my personal Instagram and Kate has her personal Instagram. Mine isn't on private. I don't know if yours is, Kate. Is yours on private?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. Right now. Yeah. So mine's, it was on private. I took it off, just because I had some really good selfies on there. So it's like, I want everyone to see, obvs. So mine's an open profile. I think we may have linked our profiles or tagged them on the Tender Love and Care podcast a couple of times, whatever. Obviously, I guess it's easy enough to find us. You would just search our followers and then find us. I opened up and I had a message request on my personal Instagram account. And what preceded was a night of me texting back this person and Kate being like, what the hell? So a wonderful individual who I will not name because I did not ask them if I could, reached out to me about Monica. And this individual gave some information. Like I said, I did not ask them if I could repeat this, so I'm just going to be very vague. But we had somebody reach out to us who knows several people in several franchises that was hinting that what is going to be revealed in the Salt Lake City reunions is not going to be everything that we expect when it comes to this reality Von Teese being all of Monica. We know that Monica said, you know, there's six people involved. A lot of these people have come forward, Tanisha and all these other people. But there is somebody else sitting on the couch that knows a lot more than they're letting on. And I think in this first reunion, I already have clocked who it is. I think a lot of other people have as well, the stuff that's come online. But I just want to reach out. I just want to say on this, thank you so much for reaching out to me. It was a shock. You gave me a ton of information. Kate and I loved it. It was a person that could have gone to many different other podcasts. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't, but they did reach out to us. So we really, really appreciate it. Guys, all of your information is always anonymous. Anything that you send to us, we absolutely love it. But this was very, very telling that there is a lot more that some of those housewives know and they're trying to desperately cover up.
Yeah, that was thrilling. You really made our night with that. That was super interesting to receive.
It was. We have to go in. I mean, I just want to go over with you. I'd love to hear you kind of just take us through how you felt, Kate, when you finally watched the finale. Because we have not discussed it, guys. We haven't been on air since.
I have to say, I was watching this with my partner, and I rewound the very beginning four times. Ugh. And I was cackling with how serious the editing was.
I was justified. Justified.
What am I watching? Is this an Oscar-nominated film? I lost it just even from the very beginning, the editing. And it just kept giving. I loved every second of this episode. I laughed. My jaw was on the floor. I was so happy to finally get a Housewives finale that lived up to the crazy hype that they set online and everything. I was like, this was iconic.
Agree. I will tell you that mix of emotions, I absolutely 100%. I got very angry with Monica. Like, I was the way she attacked Baby Gorge. You know, we don't let anyone touch Baby Gorge, but she was so nasty and so vicious when Heather called her out at that table. She's like backed into a corner and she's just clawing and she's just scratching and just saying disgusting things to people. Disgusting. And you know she's doing it as a defense mechanism. I get it, she's been caught. But she came across so poorly. And it's not just like a housewife that's done something shady. It's like a darkness. And then we go into this reunion. And nothing, where are you standing? Let's do an overview. Where are you standing with Monica after the finale and then after this first part of the reunion?
I can't completely hate her as a TV personality because this just produced one of the best seasons of reality TV I've ever watched.
Yep.
So she put in the work and she did what she needed to do. It's so slippery and slimy what she did. The email to production and how it all came about. It's very icky. I was thinking about this. We were really big fans of hers from the jump. We were like, this is genius casting. Yep. She's the one who sent Jen to prison. Yep. She's bringing it episode one. Yep. She's on. She is on. We defend it. We had so much sympathy for her regarding all the things with her mother. Yes. And so I just feel like I've been on a roller coaster with my parasocial feelings about her.
Best friends.
This was rough. She comes off very bad. Very poorly.
The unanimous feeling, I think, is that she was fired basically on air when she said that about Andy's face, when she said, well, I wrote casting and I said, your ratings suck, the people is shit, da, 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 and Andy's face. I was like, you've just been fired. Everyone's comparing it to when Carol Radziwill told Andy that he was scared of Bethany and that she was fired on the spot then. Yeah. And it's kind of that instant. There's no possible way Monica can come back. If they attempt to get her back in the next season, it's going to be a complete failure because of this. What is getting exposed with Monica? It's not that she's done a load of shady shit. It's not that with the reality Von Teese. It's that the curtain has been pulled back way too much. She had formulated every single step to get onto this show, which is revealed. And that doesn't last. You can't have that as a housewife. Sure, do the majority of them know of the show and then know a friend and get on it and want to be on it? Yes. But this was just ridiculous. You're getting voicemails of her saying, well, look at what Kim Kardashian did, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to get on this show. We get the recording of her fighting with her mum on Instagram, where the mum is advising her, get as much screen time as possible, and her saying, I know how to be on the show. You can't have someone like that back on the show. You can't.
She outproduced the producers.
Yeah.
And they don't like that. They want to be able to predict the behavior of the housewives and be five steps ahead of them at all times.
Well, I think but I think it's also that if you do that, don't tell anyone you've done that, because there has to be, that's the problem. It's like, we all know that, you know, Ramona wasn't choosing to go for lunch with Tinsley every week, right? But we have this, you know, what's
like
the term?
Suspension of disbelief.
That's it. Thank you. Suspended disbelief when we watch this. We know a lot of the arguments are true, but the scenes are all set up with producers. We know they're not buying the houses and paying for the houses when they go on vacations. We know all of this, but we put that aside because there is serious stuff about why they hate each other and fights that they have. But Monica just ruined all of that for herself. She's like, yeah. This is how I did it. See, I got on this show because I calculated and I wrote an email to casting and I'll show you all how to do it. That's not how it works, dude. You can't stay on a show like this.
Yeah, we're in Bravo Oz and you just revealed the man behind the curtain kind of killed a little magic.
She did. I honestly think the magic has gone with her. She comes out. I would just like to say we didn't even have time in this reunion to see them get ready. It was them getting out of the vans, praying in an elevator and seeing Baby Gorgeous with the most orange tan I've ever seen. And I appreciated it so much. Kate, Baby Gorge was full on orange.
Always stunning.
So stunning.
She said on Twitter, someone shared a photo of the set and it had that ship.
Stupid.
And she goes, I didn't wear Tom Ford to be in a shipwreck. And I loved it. Yeah.
That set, even Andy was like, I feel like I'm on acid trip. It was like, what were we doing?
It was like Bermuda Triangle.
So bad. And then icicles on the ship. I mean, the set dressing for that was very bad. Very poor. It was very poor. But that's not what we were interested in. When they all came out, and honestly, all of them were absolutely orange, I did think to myself what I would look, how pale I would look next to them. Because in person, that's what they look like on camera. In person, they're just completely orange. And I'm thinking if I had sat there with no fake tan on. Anyway, that was my first thought. But then, Kate, what were your thoughts of the looks? Because we're on our fourth season, every single reunion, they are roasted to hell for their looks.
I need to pull it up. I don't have as good of a memory.
Says something because they were nothing. I mean, it was nothing. It wasn't like, you know, Whitney was wearing like 500, every single necklace she owned, she put around her neck. And that yellow cutout dress. Heather, they were all just so boring.
Let me go to the trades, betches.com.
Fantastic. Well done.
Whitney has on this lime green dress that has all these swirly things at the top. Don't love.
Necklaces.
Yeah, no thanks. Angie has this short red. I think Angie looks hot. Like this is a hot.
I think
look.
Angie looked great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Heather.
Nice. Okay.
Yawn. It's good. Yeah. It's serviceable. Mary's is boring. Blue long sleeve thing.
I haven't seen her yet. Okay.
Monica's, it feels dated in an unintentional way.
Yeah.
But her makeup and hair and all that is incredible.
Yeah, she looks gorgeous.
Meredith's is this red thing with the tie around it. I love the color on her, but no. It doesn't feel formal enough or something.
No.
And let's see, Baby Gorgeous, I actually really like.
Yeah,
of course.
Tom Ford and it's Baby Gorge. What more do you need?
Those silver platform heels are very nice. Yeah. Okay, great.
So, yeah, it was just, it was like, oh, okay. And then right out the gate, Andy wanted to bring up Jen Shah.
Yep.
Just what is it, you know, how was it like going back filming with her? And I wanted him to push Meredith a little bit more. Do you remember when we first opened this season, they were like, oh, have you contacted Jen? And she's like, well, how can I? She's in prison. Well, you were such a big fan of hers. You could have written to her. You can visit her. You could do, and she's just like, nah. I wish Andy had like pushed a Meredith more on it. I really do, but he didn't. They were all just like, nah, whatever. We're all betrayed. We all know she's guilty. Okay, next. It's strange.
Yeah. Yeah. And they were so upset that they told us like she maintained her innocence to them up until the second she went into the courtroom to admit to everything and all that. So yeah, they're all done with her. Mm-hmm. She made a statement. Mm-hmm. I saw Jen's response to everything.
It was like 3 pages long. I read the first couple of sentences. I was like, all right,
moving on. And then we go into Monica's segment, not about the reality Von T's, but everything else before that. So Andy asks her about talking to her mom towards the beginning of the season about feeling less than the other women, and the whole, you know, putting a designer purse on her credit card and being afraid of not keeping up with the Joneses and stuff.
Yeah.
And this leads to the $60,000 ring conversation. And Andy's like, why were you so annoyed by Lisa being upset? Wouldn't you be upset if you lost that ring? And she says that she wasn't so much upset that Lisa lost it and was freaking out, but because she feels like Lisa kept repeating the price, like flashing her money and bragging about being able to afford it. And she thought that was out of touch or whatever. And then Baby Gorgeous says, well, you don't know, but actually that ring was a gift from John after my child almost died during childbirth. And so it's sentimental value. You're an asshole.
There you go, Baby Gorge. Yeah. And it was funny when Baby Gorge says, I only said the price three times, and they pan to Andy. He does his it's great.
Yeah,
they go over that, and then she's like, I did not steal, just everyone, I did not steal that ring. That ring went down the toilet. I think that's essentially what happened. Do I think Monica's capable of stealing stuff? Probably, but I don't think that she stole that ring. I think it went down the toilet. And then we get this whole assistant. So Andy, this needs to be delved into more, which they probably won't, but Monica, so you were an assistant to Jen Shah. Well, I was her friend, but I would help her out by doing her groceries. This is a woman that at this time was living larger than life and already had assistants that were paid. And Monica's like, you know, I just helped her free of charge. So she paid you. No, she didn't pay me. And Andy was like, so you took time away from your children to just go and get Jen Shah's groceries. And he was great. And that's when it comes out that Heather's like, you know, essentially they were like, well, you were doing this so you could get on the show. You didn't say anything about being like Kim Kardashian and being an assistant to Paris Hilton. Look at her now. And she full out goes, nope. And then Heather goes, really? And then plays a voice recording of Monica saying exactly that. She's such a light. That's why she can never be on as well. Again, you would never believe a single word out of her mouth. It would be pointless to have Monica on again.
Yeah, that's so true. She's an unreliable narrator now. And she was claiming she didn't know Jen was on the show when she met her. Yeah, right. No one believes that. Stop even trying to keep that up.
I know.
And then they get into how she applied for the show. And of course, all the women are like, well, we didn't have to apply, you know? And
yeah.
Okay, well, I did. And I emailed casting. Your show sucks. Your rating sucks. And you need me. And they show the email.
Oh, it was brilliant work. Brilliant work. Oh, I wish I could have been one of the people that the producers that had to go back into the casting emails and search Monica's name to find it. Oh, it was a dream.
Yeah, they're really having fun over there, I bet.
Yeah.
And then she starts talking about how she gets a little bit holier than thou with the women of, well, I talked to the feds about Jen and I think a lot of people in the room should have or something. And
yeah.
They're all just like, okay, shut up. And then they go into the affair stuff. She talks about how she's being called a whore online and it was 10 years ago. She talks about all she went through to be rebaptized into the church after she was excommunicated and how it was a really big deal and it was really difficult. And even with how upset with her they are, the women were backing her up on this. Heather was saying, yeah, it is really, really difficult getting back in.
Yeah.
And Baby Gorgeous is like, yeah, even your friend said you were reading the Bible every day. It's like, oh, Baby Gorgeous, so kind.
So kind.
And Andy's like, well, at least it was at least it wasn't your husband's brother, but his brother-in-law. That's better, right? She's like, no.
No, Andy, it really wasn't. And listen, I'm not gonna go down this path, but having said that. That's a Curb Your Enthusiasm quote for anyone, by the way. The episode, you'll know it. With Jerry Seinfeld. Having said that, I do kind of want to do the maths on when this affair took place and her children, because I don't get it. She's saying she had this affair 10 years ago and she's four kids. So was she having a kid and having sex with the brother? I not that it matters. I know none of this matters, but I kind of want to know all the details. Was she pregnant and having sex with this guy? Was she just given birth? And the first thing you can think about after giving birth is having a fucking affair. I don't know.
I remember we were talking, we had this
Yeah.
conversation when she first came on and was talking about it. And we were like, wait a second. How does this all fit together? And you can tell she's very ashamed of it. And
Yeah.
she talks about all the cyberbullying going on or whatever with the fans. And I'm sure she is getting very nasty comments that are tough to read every day. And the women sympathize about that with her as well. And then we get into this segment. I wrote it's the mending fences question mark segment. So they're talking about how at the beginning of the season they had this get together, and it was like everyone are we cool type of thing, are we good,
Yeah.
and how they were not throughout the season. So first we have Andy asking Meredith if she saw what Whitney and the others meant by calling her out for, pulling things that she's upset about. She pulls those out when her back's up against the wall during an argument. And Meredith says, "No, I saw the opposite." She still doesn't really get it.
They,
And yeah.
yeah. They go through like who, let's get my notes here. They go through, yeah, all of these arguments between them. And it was Meredith and Whitney, and then Meredith and Lisa, and then Lisa and Whitney. And then I did love the one that I honestly didn't make a lot of notes of this because, to be honest, I can't believe I'm really saying this. I overall, I think this first, I know they're not going to dive into the massive, big thing first episode, but I thought this first part was not very interesting. I didn't think there was a ton of drama in this first part.
Not really. It's, yeah, not really.
Not really.
It's a lot of, remember this you were kind of pissed off about? Yeah, I was
Yeah.
pissed off, and this is why. Yeah.
I did love it though. Angie, babe, Lisa was saying something, and I loved Angie goes, Angie was speaking, and Lisa interrupted, and Angie goes, "Hang on, baby gorgeous." Oh,
Yes.
so good.
That was fun.
And Andy, another highlight, Andy impersonating Meredith, the husband's nastiness and the rude. That was so good.
Oh, and he did it every time. So, yeah, that's the next segment I have on here. We find out that Whitney and Justin are apparently doing better and his ring didn't fit or something. Okay.
I believe any of that.
Andy brings and then it's kind of back to Monica, and Andy brings up the financials, which I liked. He's like, oh, I read that you're gonna get $6,600 a month for child support. That must be nice, huh? And she's like, yeah, whatever, not really, my life is still stressful. And then they talk about her business. I loved Meredith pointing out that people online are talking about not receiving their
I
blankets.
know, that was great. It's so pointed. I know.
And then Angie had a great line. My husband and I were an established couple in Salt Lake City until this rat crawled out of the sewer. And then let's see. Oh, this part was the most interesting to me. Andy asked Meredith, "Were you dangling the rumors about the husband to provoke one of the other women to bring up the gay husband rumor?" And she's like, no. She kind of dances around. She just skirts around it. And then we have Angie starting to yell at her. And then Meredith rolls through an exhaustive list of things Angie said about her on the show. Trampoline with eyes. That was a compliment.
Oh, it was that was my last note on this. It was like trampoline with eyes, compliment. Angie, I am a pillar in the community. I mean, these women are just brilliant. And I loved that Meredith actually went and transcribed the entire husband's nastiness rumors quote to be able to read it word for word for everyone. And you know, Brooks was in on, you know, that Brooks Marks is in on everything, prepping for this, getting the notes done.
Yeah.
When he's not too busy designing his tracksuits, he is, and modeling.
That takes a lot of time. Yeah, he's a busy,
lots of
busy
time.
Boy. I liked the tweet from Ira Madison III, who I love. He has the podcast Keep It.
I didn't know it at all.
And he's a great writer and everything. And so he tweeted that Whitney's in her villain era, getting Monica to bring up the rumors about Ange's husband. Mm-hmm. And Monica, I feel like she's trying to take blame where blame's due, which I was like, okay, that's good. She's like, well, I don't blame Whitney for what comes out of my mouth. And then probably one of my favorite lines was at the very end. Andy is asking Ange about something else. She's answering. Monica's interrupting. And Ange's like, this is my moment to speak. And then Monica keeps barking. And she goes, you're fucking Range Rover under a carport, spending your money on a purse instead of your daughter's.
Brilliant. Brilliant. And the audacity for Monica to fire back, keep my children's name out your mouth. Shut up. Like, then she's not talking. I hate, that's the my pet peeve with housewives. We don't talk about the children. No one is sat there saying, oh, your six-year-old is really ugly. Okay, they're saying stuff like, you're a bad mum. Because you know what? Some of them are bad mums, all right? And people call it out.
They're not saying, your children seem like they're holograms and
who would say that, Kate?
That is so rude.
And who would say, you know, that there are kids that you forget about that you can't really see when they're on screen because they're just so odd looking? I mean, no one, you know, what kind of podcaster, I mean, person would say something like that?
Not us, bitch.
I'm not going to lie, I was a little bit disappointed in the first part. I just, not that I thought it was going to be explosive, but I wanted to see a little bit more drama, Baby Gorge maybe, and going to Meredith, or like Meredith going with Angie. It was just all like, wah, 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 wah. And I think it's because Monica's coming in so hot. She doesn't have to play it all. She's known how to get on the show. Congratulations. You knew how to do all of this, but you've played this all wrong. You could have had this as a longer term thing than it's going to be. But you've played all your cards and you're done.
You showed your hand. Yep. I enjoyed it. I mean, it was still more entertaining than pretty much every Beverly Hills reunion in the past 5 years.
For sure.
I get what you're saying. I was like, all right, let's get to it.
And I know we're all, that's coming. The thing. We can't appreciate how good it is probably because we're all waiting for, you know what, but 2 and 3 is going to be great. They're going to be great. Andy, they must have filmed for like 15 hours that day. You know, these reunions go on for like 10 hours, but I'm sure this was a 15-hour day. I'm excited at what's going on with everything with OC. I must admit, I'm really following this Vicky drama and Tamra and Shannon so hard. I am loving it. Loving it.
Is there anything else going on with that I didn't mention? I don't feel like I don't know everything, or I don't know. I don't get why the initial fight.
We don't know. All we know is that the Tres Amigas were doing this tour, right? Then suddenly they did a couple of dates. That was it. Then up pops Vicky and Shannon going on a tour.
Okay.
And the comments start and all the fights all over social media, which I love. I encourage all these women to fight over social media.
Please. Well, at least we know Tamra will bring it up on camera for sure. She'll tell us the scoop.
As I said on one of our Instagram posts or our stories, this has to be a live feed right now. If we could get a 24-hour live feed on Shannon, Tamra, and Vicky, cameras up. I mean,
Big Brother style. Yeah.
God, it would be good, Kate. Jeez. It's the kind of stuff I want, you know?
We don't really have enough to watch. I could probably watch more.
I could definitely watch OC right now. Like, why can they not just quickly film it? Like, film a load of scenes on a Monday, release it on a Friday for us, you know? Please.
Give it to us. I need it in my veins.
I need it injected. All right, guys, we've spent 18 hours talking about this. We have to go. But we do want to say thank you so, so much for listening. We also want to just address a couple of things with our Patreon. So if you are subscribed to listen to our subscriber-only episodes, which comes out every other Friday, you either subscribed via Patreon or you subscribed clicking on a link in our feed. Now, we have switched over platforms, which doesn't affect anything apart from some of our subscribers that have that signed up via a link in our feed on one of those episodes that had a little lock on it. You may only be able to listen to the episodes on Apple and some other streaming devices and not Spotify. I know that sounds really complicated, but essentially from now on, anybody that hopefully wants to join our Patreon and get more episodes from us where we detail and go over weird, wild, crazy documentaries, just go to patreon.com and search Tender Love and Care podcast and sign up there. It's only $5 a month.
Yeah. And I've been putting the video versions of our bonus episodes on the Patreon as well. And yeah, that's the best way right now. We'll let you know if something changes, if we get it figured out to be easier. But you can set your Patreon up so that it is linked with the app that you like to use and it shows up in your feed for you. So just reach out if you have questions about that. We can help you figure out how to listen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you so much, guys. I know we're going to have so much more to talk about. We're going to be back on Tuesday with our 90 Day Fiance, Wednesday with our the New York Post investigates, and the following Friday, more and more Bravo. So we love you. Follow us on Tender Love and Care podcast on Instagram. Goodbye.
Bye.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.